Magon handed him a business disc. Quentin thumbed the button at the center. A small hologram appeared above it. Magon, Talent Scout, Toe Pirates.
You're really from the pirates?
Yes, but it's better if we don't talk here. Your teammates might see. Follow me.
Okay, so what's this about? What do the pirates want?
They want you.
What? They want me now?
Not now, idiot. At the end of the season, Kirani Akolok will give you a 3-year contract.
3-year contract? Sounds great. Tell Mr. Kolok I'm very interested.
Of course you're interested, Backwater. It's the Toe Pirates. Everybody's interested. But there's one catch.
Which is?
You have to make sure the Krakens don't make the playoffs.
You played well out there, Q.
Well, not that any of my so-called teammates would notice. Or care, for that matter.
Oh, they noticed. But you're right, they didn't care. I told you before, there's more to being a quarterback than skill and talent.
Listen, Gramps, I don't need a lecture.
Yeah, you do, Quentin. So did the offensive line, but they got theirs. Several, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Say what you gotta say.
If you don't respect them, they're sure not gonna respect you. And if they don't respect you, they're not following you. They're just going through the motions.
Well, that's why you're here. I want the demolition to win. You will make sure that happens. There's cash in it for you.
Mopuk held out one pedipalp, into which Sobox dropped a credit chit. Mopuk tossed it to Quentin.
That's a chit for $500,000. I believe your entire salary for the season is only $1 million.
Quentin looked at the small black chit. Indeed, the readout read 500,000 credits. The payable button, however, did not glow the blue of an active transaction.
1 million, what a joke! You need an agent, Backwater.
Just take care of business and that light glows blue. Make sure the demolition wins by at least a touchdown. That's all you have to do.
Quentin stared at the chit.
Do you know who owns the Krakens? Any idea, moron?
I know who owns the Krakens. And if you go run and tell him, he won't be happy. But right now, he doesn't know anything. And if he does find out, I'll be sure to implicate you in every way possible. I'm protected, G'tholi, but you're not. Who do you think is going to come out of this with their head still attached to their body? You just throw the game, and everyone is happy.
Quentin shook his head.
I've got a better idea. I had some tower food that didn't agree with me, and I got a massive dump coming. So why don't you use those pedipalps to wipe my ass when I'm done? Your furry little things would clean me up good.
Sobox flapped once, and the key were on him. There was no space to maneuver in the small room. Quentin managed one good punch at the first key, but didn't know if his blow did any damage before he went down under 1,000 pounds of key. He felt sudden blows to his ribs and one to his jaw. The world spun awkwardly around him as the weight suddenly lifted. Quentin slowly stood up, rubbing his jaw, his ribs feeling like someone had jammed a baseball bat into them, handle first. He felt something in his mouth. His right front tooth shot out and landed with a loogie of his blood.
Damn it! I just finished growing that back!
Now shut up and listen, human. I'm done negotiating. The money is now off the table. No more deal there. You blew it. The demolition win. You do it for free. End of story. And they win by a touchdown. Got that? 7 points, at least. If this doesn't happen, you're going back to the Purist Nation in a box.
Quentin looked at the 2-key. He was stuck in this room, and if they wanted, they could easily kill him.
Yeah, I got it.
Doc!
Quentin was oblivious to the shoulder pad and helmet slaps his appreciative teammates threw his way.
Doc, get over here!
The hurrah doctor glided over, his tentacles immediately grabbing Quentin's wrist in a surprisingly strong grip.
Sit still. This is a deep cut. We've got to get you to the locker room for the healing tank.
Forget that.
Quentin yanked his hand away. Blood flew in all directions. Teammates stopped what they were doing and stared at him. But Quentin saw nothing except Doc, who was now no more than an obstacle trying to stop him from winning.
You fix this up right now! I gotta put another 3 on the board!
You're out of the game!
Quentin's eyes widened to giant white balls spotted with flecks of pure black. He suddenly rushed to Doc, grabbing his floating body, finding it surprisingly light. He started to shake Doc when Yitzhak and Yasud grabbed him, pulling him away.
Quentin, stop it!
Yitzhak stepped between Quentin and Doc. Quentin ignored him, looking over Yitzhak's shoulder and shaking his blood-dripping finger at Doc.
You fix up my hand, or I'll bounce you off the ground like a damn toy, you got that? I don't care if you have to cauterize it with a damn branding iron! Stop the bleeding!
Doc hung there for a second, then reached into his bag and pulled out the now familiar blue strip. He wrapped it around Quentin's shredded skin. Yitzhak and Yasud let Quentin go cautiously, as if he might snap again at any second. The acid-like sting spread to his hand. Blood pooled up around the edges of the blue strip and dripped to the trampled white plants below. Quentin looked down, seeing that his blood had stained his orange jersey with stripes and splotches of bright red. Doc held Quentin's hand tight as he removed the blood-soaked strip, now a deep purple, and applied another. Yitzhak leaned in to examine the extent of the injury.
Hey, won't that put too many nanocytes in his body? Can't that cause liver damage?
Shut up! And don't bother getting warmed up. I'm going back in.
The second strip also turned purple with blood. Quentin felt as if his hand was being cooked from the inside out.
It's not working. The lacerations are too large, and you've got an arterial tear. The nanocytes can't bind it up. We need to put your hand in the healing tank, Quentin. The gel in the tank is programmed to hold your skin together long enough for the nanocytes to do their work.
I don't have time for the damn tank!
A string of spittle flew from Quentin's mouth to dangle from the bottom bar of his face mask. He looked up at the scoreboard. 3-12 left to play. The demolition with the ball, 2nd-3 on their own 32. As soon as the defense stopped them, the Krakens would have a chance to win the game. He wanted to be on that field, and he wanted to win. He quickly looked around the sideline, searching for an answer. Then he saw Masal.
Masal! Get your box over here, now!
The manager turned at the sound of Quentin's bellowing voice, quivering as if a Quith leader had done the yelling. He scrambled to grab his box off the bench, then ran to Quentin.
Get that thing you used to fix my jersey!
Masal pulled out the gun pliers. Doc took one look at the device, then looked at the ugly stitch running up the front of Quentin's jersey.
Absolutely not! We will not use stitches on human flesh!
Do it, Masal!
Use that on him, and I'll have Greedock fire you. I mean it, Masal.
Masal started to put the gun pliers away. Quentin reached down with his right hand and grabbed the short Quith worker by his left pedipalp.
You fix my arm with that, or I will kill you, cook you, and eat you.
Masal quivered like a tuning fork. He reached down and gently pinched together the skin on both sides of the cut. Yasud moved in and wrapped his arms around Quentin's left arm, holding it still. Quentin felt key arms snake around his chest, their strength holding him immobile. He looked over his shoulder. Kilo Yawet's black eyes stared at him, only inches from his own. Masal looked up, the obvious question burning in his one eye.
Do it!
Masal pulled the trigger. Quentin's eyes grew wider still as a new level of pain seared through his arm. He tried to pull back, but Yasud and Kilo Yawet held him still. Masal slid the gunpliers up the cut in a smooth stroke, and it was over. Quentin stared at his arm. The edges of the cut pursed out at a quarter inch from his arm, smeared with blood and roughly stitched together with Kevlar thread, like the seam of his jersey. Echoes of the needle and thread pain ripped through his arm, but through that he still felt the burning of the nanocytes. That burning intensified on the stitch itself. The tiny machines were still trying to do their job.
That is going to leave a horrible scar, and it's not going to heal the arterial tear. You've got 10 minutes, tops, before you pass out.
Quentin looked up at the scoreboard, his heart leaping.
4th-6 to go. Ball on the demolition's 44.
The clock counted down from 1:10.
Barnes, get your lazy butt up here.
Quentin ran to his coach and knelt. Hokor stared at him, and Quentin saw his own reflection in Hokor's big eye. Jersey torn and stitched up the chest, making the left side of his number 10 slightly higher than the right. The orange fabric stained bright red with blood. His arm a bloody mess with an ugly black-threaded stitch running from his hand to his elbow.
You sure you can make it?
Quentin nodded and smiled.
Just give me the ball, coach.